morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am going to be with you for about 55 minutes or so, 58 perhaps. Today is a story about success, about personal dreams being transformed from a dream to being successful. And this young lady, I can't tell you how proud I am of her. Is an old guy who's kind of followed his dreams and paid the price many times over. But that's okay, because I've lived my dreams. She's living her dreams. Her name is Diana Quetty. And I have had Diana on before, but now we have breaking news. Her album has been published. And I don't know, is it published? Public?
Yes, live, published.
Yeah. All you can get it. We'll tell you about that. But Diana's going to give us a 30,000-foot view of how it went from a dream to reality, a vinyl disc. And you can download them and all that kind of stuff. Stuff way beyond my technical knowledge. And if you don't believe me, just ask the people out of PCTV or WTBR about my technical ability. So without further ado, pourquoi soup du jour, my friend and someone I just think the world of, because she made her dream come true, Diana Quetty. How are you, kiddo?
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for those kind words. Good morning.
They're all true. They're
Thank
all
you.
True.
Thank
yeah,
you.
And here you are, you're, you know, in New York in a theater scene, in the music scene. And you're just a kiddo from Pittsfield who had a dream.
Yeah. Yeah. I always say I got bit by the bug when I was four, the theater bug when I was four, and I never looked back.
Well, but it takes courage to do what you've done.
Oh, thank you. It's definitely a journey. I think anyone who wants to be an artist in any capacity, there's no one way to do it. So everyone has a different path to getting there. And I think that kind of helps you keep your head down in a lot of ways, of just everybody has a different path. Some people go to school, some people don't, some people take class, some people get that audition right away. Some people have a luck meeting by chance with the right casting director, the right role for a show. And so it's just, it helps me actually stay inspired that everyone's got a different path.
So. Yeah. And so when did you start to think about, one, leaving Pittsfield? Well, give us a little bit about your high school, how you got into drama and all this other stuff. I think that that's really important, and I'll give you a quick story why. Many years ago at the old Taconic, I was interviewing this young lady who said if she hadn't been coerced by her friends in a kind way to get into the Shakespeare deal that they do down there at Taconic, and also into drama, she wouldn't have been able to be on my program because she was such a wallflower. Her term, mine. And, you know, that's why I think it's right now the city, you probably heard, is facing some budget issues. But the one thing I have admired and still admire about our administration in the schools is they realize that education is a big gamut that you have to cover. And for some kids, theater keeps them in school. Other kids.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think I was fortunate enough from the time I was in elementary school to have incredible art teachers. And, you know, I did a few plays I went to Allendale Elementary. So Mrs. Burgess was our teacher there, and she was amazing. And, you know, we did plays and at such a young age, and it was so exciting. And then I went to Herberg, and I had Mr. Larry Bales, who was an incredible teacher, right, as well as Galen Palmer, who, yep, you know, was my singing teacher, my chorus teacher. They both at Herberg just introduced me to so many incredible shows. Like we did, you know, we were doing 1984 and You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, and yeah, and just things that you didn't really see middle schools do a lot, which is was such a gift. So I started getting really involved in middle school, and then when I went to Pittsfield High, the theater director there for Proteus was Ralph Hammond, and he was an incredible teacher, an incredible mentor, had been there for almost 30 years. He's now my friend, and still a mentor to me. But and Galen Palmer as well was the vocal coach there. So I really just along the path before college had amazing teachers, and just we did shows that I was fortunate enough that we did shows that not everybody was doing. So it kind of opened my eyes to what was out there besides what I already knew. And then on top of that, starting in high school, Berkshire Theater Group ended up launching their community program in the summer. And so I believe it was right before my freshman year of high school, they did The Wizard of Oz, and I was fortunate enough to be a part of that. And then that journey continued. I did multiple shows with them in the community theater productions, and their staff, Kate McGuire, Allison Rachel Bales, Gray Simons, Travis Daly, incredible teachers. And it's just incredible what the Berkshires can do for arts education and the inspiration it can give students and kids to, if not pursue it later on in life, at least find a calling and a place. During, middle school and high school can be times where you're trying to find out who you are and what you like, and are you into athletics? Are you into arts? What's your kind of calling? So, a long-winded way of saying very grateful for the teachers I've had.
Well, and to be involved and I think what I see when I interview all kinds of kiddos and adults, especially actors who have made it, Mark Dohle and all these, Chris Enver and all these people, nobody made it. Nobody walked in and said, "Oh, you're here. How fortunate." I mean, they all pretty much had to work their way. And you made an important comment, Becca, and that is the people you meet, the networking, that is crucial, not only in your business, but in every business.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I think I take class pretty often with whether it be agencies or casting directors or just acting class in general, because you never know, in the eyes of one person, you could really fit one role versus another, and they might be casting a show that they haven't found somebody for yet, or they could be casting a show that you might not be right for, but they remember you for something down the line. And so that I think that is certainly something that took me a little while, admittedly, to get the hang of. But once you kind of can zero in on the roles that you love, the characters that you love, the characters you connect to the most, it's really helpful in terms of networking. So
And I think, when someone like you goes to New York, that's a big step.
yeah.
That's a big, I mean, New York is, my son lived in Tribeca for years, and has since moved out to the burbs, but that it's a different way of life, city living. I mean, big city living.
Yes. My parents will tell you I was obsessed with New York City from the time I probably was, oh my gosh, probably 10. I think I went on a Girl Scout trip there, and I just fell in love with it. And I already had, fallen in love with theater as well, so that certainly added to it. But it's been the place, I think, deep down, I knew I would hope, well, I wanted to end up in, just because the idea that anything is possible, and there's so many incredible career opportunities here, and things to do, things to see, entertainment, people to meet. So I am not surprised that I ended up here now. But when I went to theater school after undergrad, that was where that's what initially took me here, and then I've pretty much been here long term. So.
Folks, I have to let you know Diana's going to give you all the dates and the times, but Diana has cut an album. We're going to get to it. We're going to get to it. Don't panic. But I want to lay the groundwork to show you the kind of person Diana is. She's dedicated, she's talented, and she's nice. And that has a lot to do with today, because I'll tell you, there's some really ugly people out there. And everybody's blaming COVID. I think they were ugly before COVID to just help it come out. But Diana's going to be doing a show here. Yes, very soon in the Berkshires at the Colonial, singing her songs, albums. Diana, tell us a little bit more. I'm going to ask you to do it a couple of three times because we're a morning show and people are in and out.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. I am thrilled to be coming back to the Colonial. And we're doing a show May 10th, Friday, May 10th at 7:30 p.m.
This coming Friday. Don't miss
This
it. There
coming
are
Friday.
tickets available, but get them quickly.
Yes, so you can purchase tickets online on the Berkshire Theater Group website. It's their on-stage series. You can purchase in person or you can purchase over the phone. And yes, we're going to be premiering live my debut EP, which I'm so thrilled for, and I'm going to be sprinkling in a bunch of songs, covers that of songs that have meant a lot to me, kind of throughout my artistic journey, if you will, songs I discovered middle school, high school, college, and even today. So, just such an honor to be invited back and to a theater that means so much to me and where I really grew as an artist, especially as a young person. It's just an honor. So I'm very, very excited.
And there's something about the Colonial stage. And the back, I mean the front of the house is magnificent, but the back of the house is historical.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
To me, I mean, I was on the stage once to introduce somebody, and I have 300 pictures of that all over the house. Not money, but there was something mystical, magical, to be on that stage and look out into that vast theater, but walking through the back of the Colonial and seeing the posters from in the I don't know if you probably have been in the conference room back there. I mean, there's posters of people long dead but huge stars that started on the
Yes.
stage. Now Diana Quetty will be one of those
Oh,
posters.
thank you. So kind of you. Thank you. It's truly just such an honor. It's really going to be a love letter to the Berkshires and the opportunities they've provided me and the people that have mentored me along the way. So really excited.
Well, and again, you go back, you earned it. I mean, nobody gave it to you. Well, in the next segment, we're going to talk about, okay, you have this idea. I'm going to make an album. Yeah, it's like me going to play basketball, but you made it come to fruition. I was never selected, but all kidding aside, bringing a dream, and that's kind of what I want to get out of this show. I'm so proud of you ending up, and we're going to talk about how your pathway to be on the stage at the Colonial. I mean, I can't think of anybody in theater, music, or whatever who wouldn't give their eye teeth to be the premier star on the Colonial stage.
I again just am so excited, and I don't take the opportunity lightly,
Oh, I know you don't.
and I really I hope that it reaches people. I hope people enjoy it, and I can't thank Kate McGuire
Oh.
and the BTG staff enough for inviting me.
And you mentioned some people, and I have to tell you a funny story because I think you'll love it, and some of the people in the audience will love it. So I was watching the back door when the kiddos do the community show. They had me watching them hook the kid up with the parent, and all they came out too, but to make sure people didn't go back there. Anyhow, long story short, this kid comes out and his mother's there and he hooks up with his mother and his mother says to him, "Why don't you behave like that at home, like you do here?" And the kid looked up and he said, "Because you're not Travis." Travis Daly, he's not there anymore. He's teaching in the school system. But yeah. Travis Daly, Allison Rahilly Bales, Kathy Joe Grover. I mean, all the Kate McGuire, yeah. All the talented people that realize your talent.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I love that whole crew. They're just wonderful. Yeah. And they're so incredible with kids. And yeah, I think it's an excellent point. I think they are tremendous with students and they understand that, you know, especially at that time when I first started, we're all fairly young and but it teaches you so much about, you know, the importance of dedication and practice and you know, creativity. And I think they really, in a very healthy way, held us accountable for coming together as a cast for, you know, yeah. for opening night. And it really does translate to a lot of life skills and life, you know, how you can apply it in your adulthood. And, you know, they were so warm and kind, but they also really pushed us to work together and to work hard. So
I battle others, people who don't see the real benefit of high school theater. Well, you learn so much, you know, you lived it.
Yeah. You
learn discipline. You learn teamwork. You learn promoting others. You learn making friends and acquaintances and maintaining that linkage. Yeah, not everything learned in school isn't learned specifically out of a book or in a classroom. I think theater, band, sports, drama, clubs and things like that, they're all part of an education.
Absolutely.
And that's just from somebody like me who's if you're out and about and you find anyone looking for a person to portray a dead body, give them my name. I can hold my breath for 3 minutes.
Oh my God.
I've auditioned a couple of times. It's just I couldn't get back up off the floor. But anyhow, we're going to be in the Colonial May the 10th, correct?
Yes, May 10th.
On the stage.
Yes.
Which to me is that's magical. And the starting time is
7:30 p.m.
7:30, and it will be. I guarantee you. And if you don't, you know what? You can yell at me. Everybody does. You'll have a wonderful time, but you have that seed planted in your head. You want to write a book. You want to sing a song. You want to write a song. You want to write a poem. You see this young lady right here? She had that same dream. She made it come true. That's why we're doing this show. So that if you have the seed planted in your head that you want to do something, then start doing it today. Don't wait. Procrastination is the death of many a good idea. So when did you first get this idea?
I would say during 2020 when life was a little bit quieter and, you know, wasn't really able to audition during 2020. Everything, you know, sadly was closed. So I had always loved writing. My undergrad is in marketing and media. So I write a lot for my day job, which I love. But I had never dabbled in songwriting. And I don't know what it was. Just one day, I just wrote one of my first songs, Green, which is on the album, the last song on the album. And it was in a different stage than it is now on the EP. But I just felt inspired to write. And I think songwriting for me is different than script writing or writing for marketing or writing for social media.
Right.
For me, I kind of took a more metaphorical lens to it, and it was really it was it, it I guess it really just I felt like I was able to put my emotions and what I was feeling on a page, and I really liked that maybe if it was metaphorical, somebody else could resonate with it too. And so I wrote this one song, and then I wrote another, and then I wrote another, and I kind of set them aside for a little while. I wrote probably about 10 or 15 songs, and then the following year or so, things started opening up again. I had them there. I would tweak them. I would sing them. I would listen to them again, just like my voice recordings. But it wasn't really until the end of 2022 when things were a little bit back to normal, or pretty much back to normal, I guess, if that's the right phrase to use. I decided, like, I have all of these songs. Let me do something with them. Let me put them out there and see if they can reach somebody. So that was the initial inspiration.
And the writing process, describe how you do that. Like I have my subterranean office here, basically. That's a nice way of putting in the cellar. I do a write. I'm writing a couple of chapters now for other books, and but I have to have solitude. I have to come down here and just focus on what I'm doing. As you noticed, you may hear the phone worry. I shut the phone off down here. Simply be it's just that's the way I do it. How did you sit down and write the? I mean, it's one thing for me. I can write words. You don't want me writing notes because dogs will howl. But seriously, you write the music and the lyrics. That to me is so demanding.
I probably have a fairly unique process. I usually, when I was writing this, I just, if I had a lyric come to me, I would write it down. And a lot of the time, I could write a huge chunk of the song all at once. And I could, like, hear it in my head.
Yeah,
And
well.
I could hear the notes and what it sounded like. And then once I felt like I had the whole song ready, I would take it to one of my friends who is really good at piano and funk out the notes and make sure, okay, does this work well? Does this work well? And then kind of fine tune it. But the Green, the song on the album that I wrote pretty much all in one sitting. But then
Wow.
most of them I would just get kind of throughout the day, little melodies in my head, and I would try and write them down, and then I'd piece them all together while I workshop. But I think I'm with you in that the quiet does help, where you're kind of, you have a pen and paper ready. So yeah, kind of a unique process, but
Yeah, and I find too that sometimes because I walk, I like to walk. I have to walk a lot from I have a disease, but a condition. So, but sometimes, and I now with phone, cell phones, it's so much. If something comes into my head, I just record it into the phone.
exactly. I do the same.
You know, and I think, but I guess the point I'm trying to make is. For folks that are out there, you want to write a book, you want to write a song, you got to focus. You got
Yeah.
to focus. And you know, I know a guy, a very successful songwriter, entertainer, and he once told me he sleeps with a pad and pencil next to his bed.
Oh yeah. Oh
He'll
yeah.
wake up and he'll scribble it down.
Oh yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've just woken up in the middle of the night with a lyric idea and written it down right away, so I don't forget it. It's really funny how they come to you, when they come to you, but grateful that they do still.
Well, I'm so happy you said that because when you get to be my age, when you get to be my age, you forget where the car is. So that's why I, you know, but so you had this idea. Now tell us about Green, the first song.
Yeah, I think I definitely will speak to this in the show.
Sure.
I in the lyrics, I talk a lot about we and the idea of two people. But I wrote it really as a again metaphorically, kind of looking at a newer version of yourself and an older version of yourself, and it's okay to carry both of them with you and to charge along to the next adventure. Because I think everything that you experience in life, good or bad, it teaches you and it informs your next decision and your next goal. And so that's what this song was really about, in that I think one of the lyrics is we'll jump from roof to roof, but our light won't break the glass. And that came to me, and certainly in that you're going to go from one adventure to the next, and all of the good and all of the bad will help you kind of carry you to the next good thing rather than weigh you down. So I look to it as hopefully an inspirational song for people, on that what challenges are presented to you help you thrive later on. So
And I want you to take this as a compliment. And I mean, you are mature beyond your years. I mean,
oh, thank you.
and I mean that sincerely, just to be able to formulate what you just said, but also formulate it and transpose it into a song, into an album. Maturity gets defined a lot of ways. In my case, it's just old fat bald guy. But in your case, it's really that was very inspirational for me to hear that. That was very well done. And
Thank
I and
you.
no, I mean that. We're gonna take a break. I am here with someone by the way, we're gonna be at this Friday, this coming Friday, May the 10th, 7:30, on the stage at the Colonial. You can get your tickets by calling the back Berkshire Theater, Colonial, whatever, box office. You can get them online. You can do all this. This is a local young lady who graduated from our schools, our public schools, has gone on and has had a vision, had an idea, had a dream, and then she made all of those things come true. And the name of her album is
Begin.
Begin. There you go, by Diana Quetta. You can get it in all the places. She can tell you about all that tech. I used to go to Wood Brothers. You don't know where Wood Brothers is.
I do Wood Brothers.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I got my guitar from there.
Oh, you did? Oh, no, I mean the old Wood Brothers
Oh.
or Sammy Vincent's. We'll be right back. This is WTBR. Please stay tuned, especially if you have a dream. If you have something you want to accomplish, starts, it's a motto at Berkshire Community College, and it's so appropriate. And I forget it's somebody, Longfellow or somebody. The longest journey starts with the first step. When we get back, we're going to talk to Diana Quetta. What was her first step? This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial, PCTV, Channel 1301, Spectrum Cable. Plus, we're on the web or this or that. We're everywhere. And if I told you and you went to those places, you probably wouldn't find us. So just go on to our website, WTBR.com. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. The lady sitting over there, her name is Diana Quetta. She's here today because she had a dream and she made her dream come true. She's a local graduate of our public school system. So proud of her, as I am. I'm a graduate of the Pittsfield High School. I don't know if they're proud of it, but I'm pretty proud of it. But all kidding aside, she's going to be May 10th, this coming Friday. She is going to be at the Colonial Theater on stage singing her new album, Begin. And there's so many young people that I've come across who have picked up and gone to New York. I'm going to try to interview every one of them. So if you have a dream, well, I don't care what your dream is. Start to make it happen. Not tomorrow, today. So, Diana, you're an amazing person. It started when? Back in 2000 when the COVID hit and all that and everything kind of dried up.
2020 was when I started songwriting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so fortunate to be kind of surrounded by artistic friends and creative friends. And so we would do, because we couldn't really go anywhere, we would do Zooms together and, you know, writing workshops or singing workshops. And so we always tried to keep the creative juices flowing, if you will. So I think that certainly sparked this desire to just to write. And, you know, I felt like I wrote my first song and I it made me feel good. So I continued to write after that. And it was as much of a surprise to me, I guess, as to anybody, if I'm being totally honest, that the lyrics started just kind of coming up. And so I started paying closer attention and just writing more down. And then it became a bigger project. So here we are.
But the point is, the whole process wasn't easy.
No, I think I was always, certainly with writing, I was always checking in to make sure that it was truthful and that the lyrics that I was putting out there were, you know, an honest reflection of what I wanted to share. And but I think probably the most challenging part was making sure all of the instrumental lined up with the lyrics. And, you know, I certainly had a vision for what the song sounded like I could hear what the sounds sounded like in my mind, but to put that in included with the proper instruments is a whole nother ball game. So I was so fortunate to sync up with one of my dear friends, Dylan Feldman, who helped produce the album. He really has an ear for, you know, well, maybe we layer this instrument here, maybe we add a background drum here, etc. So forever grateful to him. He really just took what was in my head and put it into a track.
that too, I mean, the whole process. Now let's take a moment and map out for the viewers and listen. So I want to make a album.
Yeah
It's not as easy as it sounds.
Yeah, it's definitely a multi-step journey. And it might look a little different for person to person, but I think certainly from my perspective, as knowing that I was going to write all of the lyrics, I got all of the lyrics into a place where I felt like they were ready. And then I brought it to my friend who helped, integrate what he thought the instrumentals could be, what the background tracks would be, what effects we could add to the voice once we record. Then once we felt like we were ready with that, we went to a recording studio in Brooklyn, and we recorded all of the songs, and then we did a post-production doing the fine tweaks of all of the tracks. And then it was the process of marketing the album and getting it submitted to all of our live streaming platforms. So it's kind of a five-step process, and it took about, I think, from the time that we started meeting about the instrumentals, I think it took probably about 9 months total. But you know, to be said, that someone who has kind of a closer ear, a better ear for instrumentals, or know, kind of can write their lyrics and write their music, it might take a little less time. But
well, here's a real life question. Did you ever get discouraged?
That's a great question. I don't think I got discouraged. I think I probably at some points, admittedly, was like, is this going to work? Like, does the vision in my head, is it going to translate, you know, through my friend and my producer yeah. to this yeah. this album? You know, is it going to be created in the way that I have in my head? So there's certainly some nervousness there, I guess, is the right word. Maybe a little bit of doubt in the process that you're not going to be able to transition your vision to the actual track. But I think the people around me really helped me, you know, get written. I didn't really have too much fear there because of the people I was working with. So, I think there's a lot of emotions that come with it. It's certainly, for me, it was a long process simply because it was the first time I had done it. Sure. So definitely some had to really push myself, like, if I want to get this done by the end of the year, you know, just challenging yourself to ask tough questions and to work hard, and so there's a lot of emotions that come with it, but I think for me, I tried to keep the goal in the forefront.
And you know, I want people, and the reason I asked that question is, as I said, I do writing, and sometimes it comes easy and sometimes yep. it comes hard, and you can yep. get discouraged. And what I find when I get that way, it's just not coming together the way I wanted it to come together. You must right. have had that experience. And what I do then is I back away and I go for a walk, or I put it aside for a couple of days. And then when I go back to it, I go back to it predetermined that I'm going to solve it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that works for everybody, but I mean, to say, oh, I can do that, I'll never get discouraged, that's bobbledygook.
Yeah. Because
I don't care who you are, you're going to run up against something, the word doesn't work, the lyrics don't work with the word, whatever.
I think I definitely ran into that. You know, my friend who was the producer, sometimes he would say, well, in order for this to work, we're going to have to change this. Yeah. And I think sometimes when you have something that you hold so close, it's hard to make those changes. But I think I put my trust in him that he had that musical ear and that collaboration and that compromise. So that can be a challenge, especially when you're writing something that's so personal to you to, you know, waver on changes. But I, you know, ultimately knew that he was steering me in a good direction. But yeah, those things come up, and that you definitely have to keep your head on straight in terms of, you know, or I guess I should say going with your gut on what you know you can compromise with and what you know you need to keep. And I knew there were a couple of lyric blocks that I couldn't change. Like, I just knew they had to stay. And so those I felt comfortable saying, like, you know, we got to make these work. But then on the flip side, you know, shifting some stuff. So yeah, it can be challenging. It really can be, but it makes it all the more worth it when you get to the finished product.
I also found it challenging, but I also have found it learning.
Yeah. Oh,
I've
yeah.
learned, I can remember the first thing I ever wrote. I submitted, and it came back, and it looked like somebody held it up to a wall with a red with a shotgun firing red pellets. But then at the very end, said, "Great work. Think about my suggestions."
Yeah,
that was the editor.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I think you've seen that. I mean, we all can learn from others. What I don't want people to do, and Diana, I think, will reinforce me, do not let people discourage you from your dream.
Definitely not.
I know her mom and dad very well, and they're supportive of her and all their kiddos. But I see so many people. When I ran the youthful offender program, so many of in the, oh God, they were, you know, told awful things and had. Don't let anybody discourage you from chasing your dream. But you also have to say this. Do I have everything I need to do the dream? Me, pro basketball was out. I was 5'8". So. But what's next for Diana?
Oh, my gosh. This show, which I'm just absolutely thrilled to
May
do.
May the 10th, this Friday, 7:30, the Colonial. Get your tickets today. Don't wait. Tomorrow is the latest. The box office may be closed today. But whatever you do, get your tickets. It's this Friday. Don't miss out on it. Because
Thank
it's
you.
Going to be, I'll tell you, if I'm wrong, you can yell at me. I'll be there. I've already got my tickets.
Oh, thank you.
But what's next after this, after the Colonial? Another album, more venues, what?
You know, I certainly am starting to explore future venues to be able to perform live and perform this music live. I've started writing some more, which is very exciting. Oh, so, you know, maybe another album down the line. I think I'm kind of just open to possibilities right now.
Well,
so.
And that's the way to be. And then, you know, you don't lose the enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And if any, this world and today's world, that can suck the enthusiasm out of anybody or anything. I try to refresh myself as much as I can when I get up through the day. I mean, sometimes I could pull my hair out if I had any. This too shall pass is what I keep saying to myself. Let's make our contribution. I try, and you are definitely trying to make this a better place.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot. Thank you. Yeah,
well, a lot of people,
you certainly are. So,
well, music to me changes a mood. I use music like when I'm writing. It's classical music. Not that I'm a big classical fan, but it helps me think.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I listen to violin all the time.
Yeah. And I guess when I look at you and so many young people who've left, packed up, gone to New York, taken their chances. Now, how long have you been down there?
Oh, my gosh. I think I'm coming up on 9 years or 10, maybe 10. I got to theater school in 2014. Yeah, so almost 10 years now, amazingly.
You can't be that old. What did you start when you were 11?
Sorry?
When did you start theater school when you were 11?
Oh, I'm a little older. No, I started when I was 22.
Oh.
Well,
all I can tell you is you're vibrant, you're radiant, and what you've done and I know I repeat myself, but I've seen so many people who on their gravestone have woulda, coulda, shoulda. And you know, no one's promised tomorrow. So start today and at least try to push to make things happen for yourself.
Yeah, I think so. I think, it's such a cliche, but trying to live each day as fully as possible because it is such a gift. And, you know, art, I think in general has such a ability to help people, to inspire people, for people to feel seen. So if I can continue making that and hopefully reach at least one person, then I feel like I'm doing some good work. So,
I think just being on, thank you for coming on this show, but for just hearing when I first had you on, I got so many feedbacks, some wonderful stuff about, oh, you know, I didn't think I could ever do it till I saw her. And I said, well, good, because you can. Don't let people, you know, there are people who are in a rut and stuck.
Oh, yeah.
Let them pull you into the rut and stuck.
Definitely. I agree. I think, and that's, you know, that is, that's something that you can sometimes feel stuck. But I think that if you have something that you want to share that you know is, you know, could potentially reach somebody, and you feel like it's an honest and truthful work, whatever that might be, whatever medium that might be, whatever avenue that might be. If you're worried that someone may put it down, there's a very high chance that someone will connect with it. And so why not focus on that benefit rather than someone trying to bring you down? Because I think there's certainly waves and of different attitudes throughout this life that we encounter. But overall, if you have something that you want to put into the world that is impactful, I think go for it.
Yeah, and take the time to scope it. Here's what I do. I try to write it in my head.
Yeah.
And then transpose it to paper, put it aside, pull it back, look at it again. Does it still make sense?
Yeah. Exactly. I think so too. Cause especially with lyric writing, you get these ideas in your head and then you're like, wait, does that work?
and then one of the things I did, there was a song and I forget what it was now, but it was a tongue twister. You know, you try to sing it, you know,
yeah.
And so Diana Quetty is my guest today. She's one of the people that I am going to be spotlighting as young people who had a dream and they're chasing that dream. And in her case, she's caught it. She made an album. It's for sale on all the venues, right? You know, I don't know what they, what are they, honey?
Yes. Spotify, Apple Music, all of the live streaming, but at the concert we'll be selling physical CDs. So if you're interested in a CD to play in your car or on a, you know, wherever, we'll be selling those.
Good. And that will be, just so you know, don't procrastinate, because it's this Friday at the Colonial at 7:30. Ready? On the stage. And once you experience sitting on the stage of the Colonial, trust me, that will be one of the things you'll keep in your memory bank, because it's such a wonderful, historical, magical theater.
Yeah.
And what Kate McGuire and the Berkshire Theater Group have done is beyond words. This young lady is a product of their community drama program, right?
Yes. Yeah. I think I did 5-6 shows total with them.
Wow.
All just such wonderful experiences. So,
well, as a personal plug, my wife and I, my wife especially, is on the education committee for the Berkshire Theater Group. And they do so much with underprivileged kids. They have a camp for kids who would never, ever, ever get a chance to go to camp. So we're doing a concert later on. I'll bring you more information. Michael Fabrizio will be coming back. We'll be doing it out of Boulder Dash to raise money for the camp, for the kids.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. They really do it, and they work with kids after school. Some of the kids are, you know, their road's not that easy, and it's not that smooth. And and both theater groups do that. Barrington Stage, for example,
yes,
in the education committee there. Barrington Stage has their playwright mentoring project. It's won awards. It's an amazing thing. And, Diana, it's people like you that give old people like me hope for the future. And I really mean that. You what you've done, you've left Pittsfield, you had to go to New York, make all kinds of new relationships and all that, and yet you still have a smile. You've turned this into a very a valuable contribution, your album. And what, I guess, what's next?
You know, I think my goal is to just keep making art, whether that be theatrical, which is, you know, really just my absolute first love, yep. You know, this theater and plays and musicals, but hopefully keep writing music and keep singing, whether that be my own music or my, you know, covers. But just trying to keep art in my life and the most, as much as I possibly can. But I did a play last fall at the New York Theater Workshop in New York. So I'm hoping to be able to, you know, be a part of a live production again very soon. So that's my next goal.
Well, keep me posted. Now keep us posted.
Thank you.
We go into New York, not as much now. My son doesn't live there, but we used to go in and always caught a play.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. There's so many great ones.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The last thing is, when you got kind of discouraged in this process, what did you do to overcome that?
That's a great question. I think I decided for myself that I was going to complete this goal by putting the album out. And so in the moments where I feel like something wouldn't work, or, you know, it was going to be too long of a process, or this might not resonate with somebody, I just really kept that goal in mind and said to myself that if this is truthful to you, you have to have faith that it's going to be truthful to somebody else. And I think that really kept me going. So.
And how about your friends? How did they encourage you?
Oh my gosh, my friends, my family, I have such an incredible circle of people. And a lot of my friends in New York, I went to theater school with. So, you know, they just really encouraged me, helped me rehearse, you know, listened to the music, said, gave me helpful tips and tricks. And so just a really supportive circle, which I couldn't be more grateful for. And, you know, just, I think also too, having your friends know that you have this goal, it helps you kind of stay motivated too.
Yes.
So I do recommend that, just at least looping in a few people to a goal you have, because they can kind of hold you accountable in the best way.
Yeah. And I, this is my thing, through my old life, and my life is a long time. I have found, I have had to shed people who were Debbie Downers, you know.
Oh yeah.
Who never saw a bright side of anything. You know, they wake up in the morning and they go, damn, the sun's out again. You know, because they will sap your energy in a non-productive way, where friends may not energize you, but they won't steal from you. And when you need an attaboy or attagirl, they're not it for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so fortunate to have that. And I'd say that for anyone who does want to pursue anything, especially but students who are interested in pursuing artistic endeavors, surround yourself with people who root for you and who cheer you on and, you know, or even challenge you in a healthy way to say, well, why don't you look at it in this way? Or, you know, why don't you try it in that way? I found that that has really helped me, and don't be afraid to ask for help either. And, you know, obtain mentorship you know, teaching and that's a huge component as well. So, but again, I do want to say, as you've said so many times, that if you have a goal, if you have a dream, especially as a young person, now's the time to pursue it.
I can't wish you the best of everything life has to offer.
Oh, thank you.
I mean
you
that
so
from
much.
My heart. Also, I want to say to the audience, this Friday, May the 10th, 7:30, the Colonial, if I don't see you there, I'm coming to your house for Sunday dinner. Now, there's a threat. But, Diana, best to you. I'll see you on Friday.
Yeah.
I'll be the old fat ball guy sitting on the stage in case you don't recognize me. I want to thank everybody, especially the station and Diana. Let's remember, folks, there's a lot of negativity in the world. I can't take it anymore. I'm really discouraged. Please be the light in the darkness. Please be the light in the darkness. Give someone a smile. Give somebody a call. Because a lot of people are having a rough time right now. And I would just say this. I say it. I know it upsets some of you, but live with it. God bless. And today, let's do something for somebody else that makes their life just a little bit better. Diana, see you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. And say hi to your mom and dad. And I couldn't be more proud of you than I am right now. Good luck.
Thank you so much. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye, everybody. Talk to you soon.